Harmlessness is responding from the deepest truths in our heart, to our environment and to ourself. It is the expression of our true nature. It starts within our mind. It includes refraining from thoughts, emotions, and deeds that are hurtful or immoral. It includes making use of constructive thoughts, words, acts that are mirroring the qualities of the soul. Being aware of our thoughts is the key. Harmlessness is not a sentimental attitude. It is not an attitude of pleasing, nor is it a well-considered tactic. It sprouts spontaneously from the fact of sameness. My source is no different than the source of all life.
One of our group said, "The Noble Eightfold Path is a guideline in practicing harmlessness." While another said, "It's like a roadmap. For first, as one is the aspirant treading the path, then as the disciple, and then as the initiate, over many lives aiming to achieve complete and utter harmlessness, an eventual achievement for those who follow and consciously live the commandments and means." So let's take a look at the eight means of yoga, or the eight kinds of activity which will bring about the needed results.
Master DK and Alice Bailey quote, "It may be of use here if, before we take up the consideration of the means one by one, we tabulated them carefully, giving their synonyms where possible. Means one, the commandments, yama, self-control or forbearance, restraint, abstention from wrong acts. These are five in number and relate to the relation of the disciple or chela to others and to the outside world."
Eliminate all judgment, all criticism, all blame, all suspicion.
Means two, the rules, niyama, right observances. These are likewise five in number and are frequently called the religious observances because they relate to the interior life of the disciple and to that tie, the sutra atma, or link which relates him to God or to his Father in heaven. These two, the five commandments and the five rules, are the Hindu correspondence to the Ten Commandments of the Bible and cover the daily life of the aspirant as it affects those around him and his own internal reactions.
A mantra from one of our global esoteric healing group members. Something that has helped me a great deal in one of the hardest areas of my life, to learn divine indifference in relation to those one still holds dear, as one master put it. Bless each of those my heart holds dear, each to their own path, each in their own time, each in their own way. May their souls be their guide. May I be not but love in their lives.
Posture. asana, right poise, correct attitude, position. This third means concerns, first, the physical attitude of the disciple when in meditation. Second, his emotional attitude towards his environment or his group. And third, his mental attitude towards ideas, thought currents, and abstract concepts. Finally, the practice of this means coordinates and perfects the lower three of man so that the three sheaths can form a perfect channel for the expression of manifestation of the life of the spirit.
To assist in creating this channel of expression for the third means given to us by Bandhajali and translated by Master DK through Alice Bailey, to achieve right poise and correct attitude, as a group, the physical, emotional, and mental bodies of the individuals can find greater cohesion as a group using creative visualization and by sustaining a shared focus. Having a common purpose, a shared foundation in terms of concepts and format for group study and reflection does much to assist a group in developing both cohesion and unity in a spirit of harmlessness in thought, word, and deed, all supported by images that instruct, inspire, and unify, even across distance and with those on the other side of the field. The importance of the approaches used in our healing group study and meditation was mentioned by several of the healing group members as the approach sets the tone for group harmlessness.
Means 4. Right control of the life force, pranayama, suppression of the breath, regulation of the breath. This refers to the control, regulation, and suppression of the vital ears, the breath, and the forces or shaktis of the body. It leads in reality to the organization of the vital body or the etheric body, so that the life currents or forces emanating from the ego or spiritual man on his own plane can be correctly transmitted to the physical man in objective manifestation.
As we said in part 2 of this series on harmlessness, we have to substitute for harmful criticism. Expressions that reflect the qualities of the heart, a silent support embodying patience, tolerance, compassion, loving kindness, loving understanding. This is a comment from the Global Healing Circle member.
Means 5, abstraction, pratyahara, right withdrawal, restraint, withdrawal of the senses. Here we get back of the physical and the etheric bodies to the emotional body, the seat of the desires of sensory perception and of feeling. Here can be noted the orderly method which is followed in the pursuit of yoga, Raja Yoga, or union. The physical plane life, external and internal, is attended to. The correct attitude to life in its triple manifestation is cultivated. The etheric body is organized and controlled, and the astral body is reoriented, for the desire nature is subdued, and the real man withdraws himself gradually from all sense contacts. This is from Light of the Soul, pages 182 to 185. Many of those in the esoteric healing group noted this means as a way to begin to look directly at the need for detachment and dispassion and learn discrimination. Spiritual discernment being the result.
Impersonality, particularly for high-grade integrated people, is peculiarly difficult to achieve. There is a close relation between impersonality and detachment. Study this. Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 48. It is only in a spirit of real detachment that the best work of a disciple is done. The disciple comes to realize that because of his detachment, he is, for the remainder of his life, simply a worker, one of a great army of hierarchical workers whose supposedly no personality inclinations, objectives, or wishes. There is for him nothing but constant work and constant association with other people. Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 55.
Detachment and dispassion in group work. The using of the mind to this end involves an aptitude to learn the distinction between analysis and criticism. This is a hard and well-nigh impossible thing for many to learn. Traces of illumination of this subject will show themselves if the group persists in all earnestness. The members have to learn to respond as a group to the same spiritual, mental, and human ideas, and thus swing as a telepathic unit into one united train of thought. They have, as a group, to be preoccupied with the same things which are indicated by the soul of the group, and not by one person in the group, as is apt to be the case. They have to learn, as a group, to hold the mind steady in the light. The group mind, and not their individual minds. This is from Esoteric Healing, page 355, and gives us a sense of how challenging it is in group work to practice the means of yoga and develop true detachment and dispassion that leads to discernment and the ability to work as a group, holding the group mind steady in the light as one telepathic unit, following the laws of thought.
Means 6 relates to the mental body. Attention, dharana, concentration, fixation of the mind. Here the instrument of the thinker, the real man, is brought under this control. The sixth sense is coordinated, understood, focused, and used. The mind and the eight means. The mind, the great sixth sense, has a triple use. As yet for the majority of men, it has but one use. Its first and commonest use is a gathering of the realized contacts together and their transmission as information to the ego or knower, much in the same way as the nervous system telegraphs to the brain the external contacts it makes. It is the use of the mind which produces primarily the sense of personality, which begins to fade out as the other uses become possible. second use of the mind is the one which the first five means of yoga bring about. The power to transmit to the brain the thoughts, wishes, and will of the ego or the soul. This brings into the personal self on the physical plane a recognition of the reality, and the sense of identification with the not-self becomes steadily less. The third use of the mind is its use by the soul as an organ of vision, whereby the realm of the soul itself is contacted and known. The final three means of yoga bring this about.
Means 7. This relates to the mental body. Meditation. Dhyana. The capacity of the thinker to use the mind as desired and to transmit to the brain higher thoughts, abstract ideas, and idealistic concepts. This means concerns higher and lower mind.
Shared by one of our global esoteric healing group members from Europe. The only way to come to right relationship with people, animals, nature, our world is harmlessness. People who practice harmlessness receive responses in return of joy and trust. Not only in our relationships with people, certainly with our pets. Harmlessness is also one of the ways to become free of the wheel of a rebirth. Once I heard Michael Robbins say this: harmlessness can also be understood in another way. Not feeling harmed by others, by situations. Staying poised. I love that thought and guidance.
To better understand what Michael Robbins was referring to as the first demonstrations of being poised, Master DK gives us insight into the difference between the spiritual poise that we can eventually achieve, spiritual poise, and the perfect poise of the Master, in this teaching from Esoteric Healing, page 673. Perfect poise indicates complete control of the astral body, so that emotional upheavals are overcome, or at least are greatly minimized in the life of the disciple. It indicates also, on the higher turn of the spiral, an ability to function freely on Buddhic levels, owing to complete liberation and consequent poise from all the influences and impulses which are motived from the three worlds. This type or quality of poise connotes, if you will think deeply, an abstract state of mind. Nothing which is regarded as non-perfection can create disturbance. You can realize surely that if you were entirely free from all emotional reactions, your clarity of mind and your ability to think clearly would be enormously increased with all that involves. Naturally, the perfect poise of an initiated disciple and that of the initiated master are different. For one concerns the effect of the three worlds or the non-effect, and the other concerns adaptability to the rhythm of the spiritual triad. Nevertheless, the earlier type of poise must precede the later achievement. Hence, my consideration of the subject. This perfect poise, which is a possible achievement for you who read, is arrived at by ruling out the pulls, the urges, impulses, and attractions of the astral or emotional nature, and also by the practice of what I have earlier mentioned, divine indifference.
It is the indifference which accepts all that is offered, uses what is serviceable, learns what can be learnt, but is not held back by personality reactions. It is the normal attitude of the soul, or self, to the not self. It is the negation of prejudice, of all narrow, preconceived ideas, of all personality tradition, influence, or background.
Here are some thoughts of some members of our healing group who sought to express divine indifference through various means. Some said it was by maintaining non-partisanship amidst the pressures of contentious political debates and divisive social commentaries. Another said, in managing physical pain, medical treatments, and life-threatening disease with detachment and spiritual poise. While another said, through meditation and allowing emotional release after the loss of a loved one, to illumine the acceptance of physical death as release from the lower vehicles and eventual union with the soul. Another said, by studying to better understand the true meaning of divinity. And another, in modeling and living the eight means in one's daily life, especially group life, focusing on personality integration and eventual soul fusion. And another, through service.
So as we come to the close of part three, our sharing on harmlessness, let's look back. We reflected at the beginning of this part that for many of our group members, Patanjali's means of yoga as given to us by DK and Alice Bailey are like a roadmap. First for the disciple and aspirant, then to the initiate. And over many lives, we aim to achieve complete and utter harmlessness. And we went through them systematically, as DK suggested, one by one, tabulating them carefully and giving their synonyms and examples of how these show forth in the lives of the members of our esoteric healing group. We are at the close with means eight. Contemplation, samadhi. This relates to the ego or real man and concerns the realm of the soul. The spiritual man contemplates, studies, or meditates upon the world of causes, upon the things of God. He then, utilizing his controlled instrument, the mind, controlled through the practice of concentration and meditation, transmits to the physical brain via the sutratma or thread, which passes down through the three sheaths to the brain, that which the soul knows, sees, and understands. This produces full illumination. These words from Light of the Soul help us understand the real man or thinker, at least the third degree initiate or higher, who studies and meditates on the world of causes, utilizes his controlled instrument, transmits through his bodies and sheaths to the brain, and knows as the soul, sees as the soul, and understands as the soul.
Meditation involves the living of a one-pointed life always and every day, the process of ordered meditation. When carried forward over a period of years and supplemented by meditative living and one-pointed service, will successfully arouse the whole system and bring the lower man under the influence and control of the spiritual man. I cannot impress too strongly upon aspirants in all occult schools that the yoga for this transition period is the yoga of one-pointed intent, of directed purpose, of a constant practice of the presence of God, and of ordered regular meditation carried forward systematically and steadily over years of effort. Let the students in esoteric schools settle down to steady, quiet, unemotional work. Let them refrain from prolonged hours of study and of meditation.
La grande invocation. Du point de lumière de la pensée de Dieu, que la lumière afflue dans la pensée des hommes, que la lumière descende sur la terre. Du point d'amour dans le cœur de Dieu, que l'amour afflue dans le cœur des hommes. Puisse le Christ revenir sur terre. Du centre où la volonté de Dieu est connue, que les desseins guident les faibles vouloirs des hommes, les desseins que les maîtres connaissent et servent. Du centre que nous appelons la race des hommes, que les plans d'amour et de lumière s'épanouissent, et puisse-t-il sceller la porte de la demeure du mal. Que la lumière, amour et puissance restaure les plans sur la terre.
And thank you, friends. This concludes our thoughts on harmlessness. These were the ideas, the experiences, and the inspirations of members of our healing circle. And we thank them for sharing and also for their steadfast service and their dedication to the work. We would also like to thank those who have supported our online presence through their generous contributions. We would love you to register the YouTube channel, which allows you then to receive automatic notifications of new postings, and it will also allow you to share them with others. Thank you so much.